Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. We've got some life advice. We turn to John Jansen.
Yeah, I got no tease this time.
I'll let you know right now. Here are your choices.
Put that one on a tee for you. You're not going to say anything?
No, because I think you're going to get where this is going.
Okay.
This is unintentional, but the topics are wife or best friend.
Oh, boy.
Valentine's Day and gym-splaining.
Okay.
We'll start with wife or best friend. Dear John. I'm the luckiest and unluckiest guy around. I've got my hands on a pair of Lions tickets for Saturday night, and I'm keeping them, of course. I'm super pumped. Here's the issue. Both my best friend and my wife have assumed they're going with me. For the backstory, I've known the friend since the first grade. He was my best man. We watch all the Lions game together, and he would take me if he had the tickets. In fact, he did buy us tickets to the Monday night game against the Seahawks earlier this season. My wife is my wife. She doesn't love football, but she's gotten really into the Lions over the last 2 years. Yesterday, she excitedly showed me she purchased an Amon-Ra St. Brown jersey to wear to Saturday night. I'm between a rock and a hard place. Who do I pick?
This one's easy. You take your wife. There's no question about it. I mean, if the Lions win, you might win too. I mean, there's you got to think about...
She might leave the shower door open.
And I think, especially if your best man, your best friend knows your wife and knows your relationship, I mean, he's going to be bummed out. He's not going, but I think he would 100% understand. For the rest of your life, he'll hold it over your head as he should, but you'd rather have him holding it over your head than your wife.
That's smart.
This one seems easy to me. Heather,
I agree with you, but I do think, I'm trying to think if it was me and this was Colin and it happened, I do think I would understand if he said, you know what, I know you're really excited, but I was going to go with whatever, my best buddy. I would get that. Like and I would kind of say like, you know what, you're right. Like you guys have been, this is your thing. Like I want to go, I'm pumped, but I think I would understand. I would be mad and I would... I'd be upset, but I'd get over it.
And the kids won't go to sleep, and they're up all night with them. He's out partying with his best buddy.
Oh, he'd hear about it. Like, believe me.
Right. That's
John's point.
Yeah, that's my point.
I'd
rather hear about it from my buddy than my wife.
I think he should take his wife.
If my wife was excited to go, I would take her. I talked to her about this last night, and she goes, I wouldn't enjoy it enough. I wouldn't appreciate it as much as someone who's a lifelong fan.
See,
if you were really between a rock and a hard place and your friend wanted to go... Take your friend.
Yeah.
It depends. Like, how invested is your wife? And in this case, she bought the jersey. I think the decision's been made.
Yeah.
You're taking your wife.
Yeah.
She made the decision for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The move by the friend is you bow out and in hopes of the wife hearing it and say, you know what?
Sob story.
Yeah. You know, you should take your wife and just make sure you let her know that I bowed out. And then when that story happens,
I couldn't do that.
Oh, you know what? Hey, that was really nice of him. I think you should take
him. He bought you the Monday night tickets. Yeah. You know what? You should take him.
Yeah. That's smart.
Yep. All right. The next one is gym-splaining. Dear John, my boyfriend set a New Year's resolution to lose 25 pounds in 2025. I've been going to the gym routinely since he's known me. I go 5 times a week and try to stay in shape. I love that he is motivated to do this and he's been going with me sometimes. But now he's way over the top giving me tips like some fitness guru saying, you shouldn't squat so deep. It's bad for your knees. Meanwhile, this man just learned what a squat was 2 weeks ago. He's not shy about trying to correct my form, even though he has a long way to go. Should I stop working out with him or do I need to confront him and bruise his ego?
Just confront him and tell him, shut up.
Like,
stop already. You know, hey, I'm going to work out how I want to work out. If you want to keep going with me and you want my support, then just shut up and let's do this together.
Have some self-awareness.
Yeah.
Like, he needs a reality check. You have to confront them.
Yes. And maybe I'm just of the mindset where I'm just going to be straight up and straightforward with you. Lisa is the exact same way. She would have no problem telling me to back off. And I would instantly.
I mean, it's her boyfriend. It should be easy for her to talk to him and say, you know what? When we're working out, let's work out. We don't need all of this, right?
Right.
Should be easy.
Yeah.
And bruising his ego, like, it depends how you say it too, right? I mean,
it's better just to be blunt. Say, stop it. Don't be a dork. Like, I don't want to be with a dork.
This next one is Valentine's Day. Dear John, when is it too late to make a Valentine's Day reservation? My wife asked me this week what I wanted to do, and if I had made a reservation, I feel like I've got till February to figure it out. Maybe she's saying this because she's expecting a nicer restaurant. What do you think?
Well, it depends on the... This is why you got to set the bar low first year, and it allows you to get over it just a little bit every single year. So by the time you hit that 50-year anniversary, that's when you're making the primo reservation.
You can still get reservations now, right?
Oh, yeah, you can still get reservations up until the day of. It just may not be the restaurant that maybe she wants to go to, or that might not be the top of the line, but it's
when,
all
when
about...
When do you need to book by, on average?
A week out.
I have no idea. I don't... Valentine's Day is not my thing.
Yeah, it's not mine
either.
Give
me a pack
either.
Of Swedish fish, I'm good. Don't take me out.
It's
a Friday this year.
So this one is more about, it should be about, are you able, for my situation, are we able to go out without the kids? Can we, and at that point, it doesn't matter where we go. It's just the fact that we have a couple of hours to actually talk and be together without distractions and just enjoy each other's company. I mean, I talked about that yesterday.
I mean, they could figure out a restaurant together. Like, why does it have to be him? I mean, he could say,
trust me, it does not have to be him. A lot of times Lisa won't make the reservation because she knows where she wants to go.
I think she's dropping a hint here, more than a hint. When say, hey, have you made a reservation? Where are we going? Like,
right.
She's putting it on his plate to step up and do something. So he does have to pick.
I guess.
Yeah, but these are the games that I'm not going to play. I just am not. There's just too much stress in life to have to worry about picking the right restaurant to go to. And if not, is she going to sit there and be quiet? Oh, I didn't want to go. I really wanted to go to this other restaurant.
Why didn't you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No. Stupid.
You should have known. I didn't have to say it.
Stupid games.
The next one is vegan wedding. Dear John, my wife and I got a wedding invite from a friend of our daughters. They've been best friends since kindergarten and our families are close. The wedding is in August and we're excited to go. But when we went to select a meal, we noticed they're doing all vegan. Everything's vegan. Pasta, risotto, and something called vegan steak. I've been to weddings where they offer a vegan option. Why couldn't they offer something for those who would like actual meat? I know it's their day, but I feel like this isn't accommodating to the guests as most people aren't vegan. Should I say something or just eat beforehand? What would you do?
Just eat beforehand. Don't make a big deal of it. It's stupid. We did it at our wedding. We gave an option that did not have meat. We wanted Doug Karsh to be able to come and feel welcome. But if it's expected for those meat eaters to provide a non-meat option, then it should also be okay for them to provide a meat option. Are they such vegans and such elitists that it grosses them out to see meat on a plate? Like it will limit where they can go in any restaurant for the rest of their lives. Like, just get over yourselves and don't impose your standards on me. I'm not going to impose mine on you. And but if they don't want to, then so be it. It's their wedding.
But it is their wedding. Yeah. They can do whatever they want.
And so eat beforehand.
Yeah, you don't say anything.
No.
Yeah. You don't bring it up to them. It's their wedding. They chose to have all vegan options, so be it. Usually you don't. Usually you have, like you said, John, there's one option or a vegetarian option.
Even if it's chicken or something.
Yeah.
Some kind.
Yeah, like Stoney called it, vegan breast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. But the whole, we're providing a meat option. It's just a non-meat substitute. That's vomit inducing.
Vegan steak?
Yeah.
What is vegan steak?
It's not. It's like turkey
bacon.
It's
like bacon. The Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
I would say that if I got this invite, I don't know if I would notice. Like if it was just
options.
If you're
selecting your meal?
Like pasta, when you're, risotto, like, you
like,
might
I
not.
I don't think I would necessarily notice that there wasn't meat.
But who doesn't like pasta?
Right, because I like pasta.
There's a lot of people that won't eat pasta.
Why?
Carbs?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like, for example.
Oh, no.
Same thing about meat.
I know.
All right? I mean, it just... Tom, I do get your point. Like, if you're picking from the meals, you're 1, 2, 3, what's the best option?
Like, if I saw, what if a lasagna was the pasta?
Right.
Like, I would just think there would be meat, and then I would eat it, and I would probably notice, well, there's no meat, but it wouldn't be a big deal, because I like lasagna without meat.
Sure. Right. Yeah, it's those that are imposing. If you come to our wedding... And you don't want to eat meat, there's going to be a non-meat option.
Well, didn't you do this? Somebody here, not food-wise, but I'm drink-wise, only have like beer as an option, no cocktails.
No, well, we did beer and wine, but we did an open bar.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we
I feel like I remember hearing they only offered beer and they didn't have cocktails.
Oh yeah,
which is like, huh?
Kind of lame.
Yeah, I mean,
if I want a Jack and Coke, I would assume everybody else would.
Right. Let there be an option for those people.
Yeah. Jack and Coke Jerry.
Yeah.
Those people. All right, that's John with Dear John. It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call, your only call, should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham & Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random dork you're never going to meet. Visit AbrahamAndRose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, a heads up. Tomorrow, you're going to have a chance to win Lions tickets on this show. Be listening tomorrow for a chance to win a pair of Lions playoff tickets courtesy of Bud Light. We're going to get to the Lions at 9:35. Some Jared Goff disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of these national morning shows, but multiple. We got the TVs on. We see stuff. Just a question that we need to get answered. We've got reaction to Dear John. We talked about a vegan wedding and a Lions fan ticket dilemma. Do you take your wife or your best friend? Valentine's Day and all kinds of good stuff. Ticket Texture says, when it comes to this, my wife would never assume that she would be going. I have the best wife.
Okay, your situation may be a little bit different.
This person's wife bought the jersey and thinks she's going, and how do you handle it?
Yeah.
Texter says, Heather, if you were in that situation, it'd be easy. You take the ticket, you bring Colin's friend, and you sneak Colin in the game inside your purse pocket.
You know what? Yeah, that's probably what I could do. Or just throw him on my back and put my coat over him. Uh-huh. That'd be good, too.
Take one of the contractors.
Well, hey, now.
Hey, watch it. Texter says, the people who are getting married are vegans because they don't believe in eating animals, so they don't want to serve it at all. It's their day. Eat before and keep quiet.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Vegan pasta is not regular pasta. You would absolutely notice.
Oh, really? I've never had it.
I can't say I have either. I mean, what's the big difference?
There's cheese? Egg?
I guess
it's
the
noodles.
It's not
made with egg.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You can't use egg if you're vegan. So no cheese, no egg.
I mean, the noodles are different.
Would be different.
No meat, no cheese. Well, how is it even lasagna?
I don't put meat or cheese on my pasta, but I use regular noodles.
Yeah, I mean, I get you get meatless lasagna. I get that. You can have
marinara sauce. Yeah, there's ways around it.
But you got to have cheese.
Heather, you don't.
There's vegan cheese.
Yeah, but that sounds...
Yeah,
that sounds worse than vegan.
You can put that
meat
on top of your fake steak.
It says, just eat the vegan food. Good chefs are versed in vegan food nowadays. Don't be closed-minded.
Or just eat before you go.
John,
and then test it out, because maybe you do like
maybe
it.
Maybe you do. Because on surface, I think, okay, like...
Two meals is always better than one.
Well, like, pasta, rice, like, these are potatoes. These are things you can eat if you're vegan, but you're just missing a lot of the things that take them to another level.
Right.
The cheese and the...
Yeah.
Can't use butter, right?
Meat
use butter?
No. Yeah, I mean, would they have butter there?
Is there vegan butter?
I'm not vegan.
No, I don't.
I have no idea.
Chef at a fine dining restaurant, if you want a reservation on Valentine's Day between prime hours, 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., your best bet is a week out or more. Otherwise, your chances are very limited. Chef Chris in Troy.
There you go. Thanks, Chef Chris. I agree with the week.
Yeah. A little heads up for people out there who haven't been thinking about it. Get to the phones. Roy in Toledo, you're on 97.1.
Morning. I've been to what would be considered a vegan wedding, but there were other options. The vegan came from, it was literally two people from the country of Africa that got married. We went out to Dallas and our mind was blown. My thing is with the pastas, my girlfriend is gluten-free. She eats meats and all of that, but you have the gluten problems, which opens up a whole other floodgate of things. But I will tell you from experience, vegan pasta is usually chickpea or something like that, and it totally changes any flavor of anything you're going to eat, and it is disgusting.
Well, especially being out in Dallas, boy, you got a couple of fine steakhouses you could go to before the reception.
Well, we went for the brisket and different things like that because we will bend to different areas of the country and we love brisket and ribs and stuff like that. So that was our experience there. They did have meat there. They had chicken and whatnot. I think there needs to be some sort of thing before you go. What would John Jansen do? And then do that, because I'm eating beforehand. I know it 100%.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Roy.
Go Lions.
Go Lions. Vegan wedding equals Uber Eats.
Oh, jeez. You can't do that.
No, you can't. You can't have something delivered right now. You want to talk about, the worst thing you could do.
As an Italian, vegan pasta doesn't exist. Seth in Downriver. Mm-hmm. Someone is defending vegan pasta. It's actually pretty good, according to this person. Says you wouldn't even be able to tell. It's not a big deal. I've been vegan 22 years. And says, also, today I'm officially a huge Heather fan. I'm convinced she did that on purpose.
Gosh, that's... No, John brought that up, and it's the idea that it might have been on purpose. It was definitely not on purpose.
Right.
But which makes me more uncomfortable.
Thinking from their perspective, because they wouldn't have seen the dog.
So I'm going to come walk into my house today, and they're going to be
Every normal people. No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Vegans, perverted contractors, doubt you'll hear any Pistons Pacers talk, signed Mark C. Big game tonight.
Well, we'll see how they do.
Yeah. Excited to see how they do,
we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, no smarm. I'm excited to see how they do. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to the Lions at 9:35. Here's Heather with the news.
There is a former Tigers employee that has sued the franchise in federal court, arguing that the team failed to pay him and many others who regularly worked overtime in recent years. So this lawsuit was filed on Tuesday. And this guy, he worked in shipping and receiving from 2017 to 2024. This lawsuit seeks more than just back pay for him and interest and damages. The lawyers are also arguing that all these hourly employees for the Tigers in the past 3 years are owed some money as well. And I mean, if there's proof that they weren't paying him what they should be paying him, he should be paid the money that he owes, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, no, it seems simple to me. The Lions are calling dibs on a really massive baby. So on Sunday, there was a woman who posted a video on TikTok of her baby with the caption, "When you're 6 months old is 31 pounds.
Whoa!
It's a big baby. I mean, for reference, my daughter's three. She weighs about 30 pounds. Okay, so she's three.
Yeah. It took Teddy at least a year.
6 months.
Yeah.
It's a big, big baby.
Wow.
And anyway, the Lions somehow saw this video and simply responded by saying, "Dibs."
That's cool.
We want him. She saw that. She responded and said, "Hey, just give us a little bit of time and we'll be there."
That's cool.
It's funny. It's just cute that they're seeing things like that. Very shortly, we're going to be getting rid of red dye number 3 from all of the foods here in the U.S. This dye was banned, nearly 35 years ago from cosmetics, from non-oral medications, because there were studies that showed it caused cancer when consumed by rats. But yet it was never banned from food products until just now. And you see it in a lot of candies, jelly beans, some like fruit roll-ups or fruit by the foot.
Yeah.
You can see it in like strawberry milks and some ice creams even. You can see it in like ice pops, gummy vitamins. Like, it's in a lot of different things. Mm. And there's also studies that show it has a big impact on young children.
Well, it sounds like most of the foods you described would be consumed by those 10 and younger.
Exactly. Or, you know, like frosting on cookies that's red. It can cause behavioral issues or, you know, focus issues, memory problems in these young kids. So this is, I think, a great thing. Goodbye. Get rid of it. We don't need it. And a lot of companies are already getting away with it as well. They're doing away with it. There's other things you can use to make things appear red. Right? Like, or maybe if they're not red, it might be a good thing that we're not eating cookies all the time or fruit by the foot. It might not be an awful thing. I think it's great. So anyway, by 2027, food manufacturers will have to get rid of it. Medicine by 2028. So there you go. If you're looking for a new job, perhaps driving around the country in the Planters Nutmobile is for you.
Oh.
Yes, Planters is looking to hire 3 new people to drive the Nutmobile around for a year and be a brand ambassador. Sounds like a fun, easy job.
Yeah, it's a big nut.
Yes, it is. The job starts in June and ends a year later, John. You'll have to manage event planning. You'll have to pitch the brand to local media. You might occasionally have to dress in costume. I'm guessing that's Mr. Peanut. Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. The pay is $45,000 a year plus benefits. You can apply online up to February 14th. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Did you get a custom plate on that one? D's?
No, well, it depends what state, because that's banned. I know for sure in Florida, you cannot have that license plate.
D's?
Well, if you add the next word.
Well, I didn't.
I know, but...
I mean, the vehicle speaks for itself.
I guess. You might not be able to. Maybe just that word, but I know the whole phrase can't be on a license plate. Anyway, if you're headed to the game this weekend, beware of parking scams. Not only are they getting you on tickets, they're scamming you with these fake tickets and stealing your money. They're also scamming you with parking. So make sure you plan ahead. Make sure you know where you're going to park. Make sure you know who you're giving your keys to if you're going to valet park. Watch out for fake tickets, fake text messages, because apparently these scammers are texting you saying, "Hey, you have an unpaid ticket. You need to pay it." They put in like a QR code or even just a link for you to go pay. And they say by putting these fake tickets on your car, 2 people are getting their cars towed. Some of them are getting stolen because you're handing your keys over to some random person that you think is a valet. Park in a shady lot. Just know where you're going. Plan ahead.
We say common sense. Like, healthy skepticism will do you wonders.
Trust your gut, right? Doesn't feel right. Probably not right.
It's Heather with the news. Are you still laughing?
He is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've moved on to...
What? You have not moved on from anything.
Carpooling. Would they carpool with the Wienermobile?
They might. They could tour
where
together.
You park.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Coming up next, something else. 97.1. Counting down the days to Lions playoff football. 2 days. 1 day away from giving away tickets for you to be there.
Be listening tomorrow morning, courtesy of Bud Light, a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Lions and the Commanders. We're going to get to some of what we've seen around us, literally. There's TVs around us, and some of the way that Jared Goff has been discussed this week rubs me the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And I'm a reformed Goff hater, so I think I'm uniquely qualified to speak on this topic. The interpreter between what we're seeing here and what we're actually seeing on the field. We open the show with something fun, too, because the Lions are everywhere. Half of Heather's news stories, I feel like, are about local businesses and local phenomenons and different things. And John, you wondered, have people been upgrading their life because of the Lions?
Yeah, I mean, 65,000 people are going to be at Ford Field, you know, give or take a few thousand on Saturday night. Many more are going to be watching on TV, whether it's here in Metro Detroit, across the state of Michigan, or anywhere in the world. And have people upgraded their TV because they want to see more of the Lions, literally want to see more of the Lions. Or maybe you're having a watch party and it's something that you've been doing, and all of a sudden, hey, you want a new couch. Maybe there's a new grill or smoker or something and we always talk about the way that women will rationalize purchases. Oh, well, it was on sale. Mm-hmm. Is this the man's way of rationalizing a purchase? Well, it's for the Lions game, right? It's for everybody coming over. We want to have a better experience, whether it's the TV, the couch, the grill. Like, you got to have the right food.
The ways the Lions have upgraded your life. Tom talked about how he sees all those Lions trucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Ford put out the
special edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did the very deep dive into the research of how many there are.
Only 800.
Yeah. 800. And what did somebody text in earlier? Because I've seen the silver is the ones that I've seen. I know there's a black version. Those are the only two, quote unquote, authorized.
Official. Well, yeah. And some people may have done like their own.
Right. You got a Honolulu blue truck or blue truck and you put a magnet on there. Like, I've seen that. But yeah, I mean, those are things. 5 years ago, Ford wouldn't even put those in production because they wouldn't have sold.
No. I mean, you're wearing a shirt you just got.
Yeah. Great point. I since I played for the Lions, I have not purchased any Lions gear. The only thing I've done last year at the Rams-Lions playoff game, I got a new hat. Every once in a while on Victory Mondays, I'll wear that in. But I didn't have any other clothes that were Lions clothes.
So it could be your truck, it could be your wardrobe, it could be your living room, it could be your TV, it could be a way that the Lions have nudged you, upgraded your life.
Yeah.
If you missed that earlier, then open the show. Odyssey Rewind. What was that, John?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's there for Lions fans. This Goff thing, okay? If we can move past that.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Goff get more credit?
Well, because he's not flashy. He's not the guy that, you know, is not going to have a whole lot of highlights. The highlights are going to be about J-Mo or about the trick plays. Amon-Ra St. Brown flipping the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs coming across the formation, right? Laporta and the explosive plays we talked about yesterday, whether it's Montgomery or Gibbs. And like, all of that is the conversation surrounding the Detroit Lions. And it's kind of always been that way for Jared Goff. He is, even when you hear him talk, right, he's not the most flamboyant individual.
No. And look, there's a different classification of quarterback that I don't think he's in. The Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar tier. Because of some of their physical gifts.
Sure.
But I think we've gone too far when we're putting Jaden Daniels ahead of him, which is what I've seen from multiple shows this week. On Get Up yesterday, they asked, who would you trust game-winning drive more? And real people said Jaden Daniels. Yesterday on FS1, Danny Parkins said, Jaden Daniels is better than Jared Goff. What?
So right now, no. We don't know what Jaden Daniels becomes. I mean, he could be unbelievable. He's had a remarkable rookie season. We don't know what he becomes. What we know about Jared Goff is he's taken a team to the Super Bowl. He is on his second organization, and he's taken him to the NFC Championship game. And when he got here, it was the worst roster in football. He is, and I'm going to try and consolidate some of the comments on Twitch where I talked about the playmakers getting the credit. It's also Ben Johnson who is getting a lot of the credit for the trick plays. Jared Goff's the one that delivers those trick plays. He's the one that makes it all possible, and yet he gets no credit for it.
When they say, if I was starting a team today, I would pick Jaden Daniels, is it just because of the age? Because I don't even think that's accurate or fair. Jared Goff is in the prime of his career. For an NFL quarterback, he's kind of at the midpoint. And if we want to say, well, Jaden Daniels has done so much with what he's inherited, do we not realize Jared Goff came to Detroit at a low point, both for him and for the team? They effectively started over with him at ground zero. And what's happened in a short span? He's leading the number one offense in football. And I know he has help, and he certainly is a quarterback that needs help, like many of them do. But they aren't the number one offense in football in spite of Jared Goff. You know what I mean? They win on third and fourth down from the pocket with precision. Like, I don't know how we're going to do this thing where we're going to hold it against Jared Goff. He is a guy who, when he got to Cal, they were a one-win team. When he left, they won eight games and went to a bowl game. When he got to St. Louis before they moved to L.A., they were a bad football team with a four-win season. John, to your point, he did quarterback them in a Super Bowl and some big playoff wins. And he's only proven the point again in Detroit. So the idea that I'd want to start with Daniels because he's uniquely equipped to deal with a bad situation, it's all Jared Goff has done is be resilient and overcome and improve. And I don't think it's at all accurate to say that Jared Goff is below Jaden Daniels. Like, that's where I think we get a little too into the traits, where we say he's faster and has a bigger arm. So?
Right.
So? I mean, I think that's part of the case for Allen, Lamar, and Mahomes, but those guys are winning MVPs and Super Bowls. Jaden Daniels is a rookie. So we ask you guys the question, why doesn't Goff get more respect? Is it because he's not flashy enough? He's not mobile enough? John, maybe your point is the credit gets dispersed among everybody on the offense and he doesn't get enough of it.
Well, so then you also have to look and say, okay, well, who's the star of the show? And in Washington, it's clearly Jaden Daniels,
yeah,
the star of the show. But they don't have an Amon-Ra St. Brown. They don't have a Gibbs or even a Montgomery. And they don't have a Laporta. They don't have a J-Mo. Like, you start talking about all the stars that Detroit has, and Jared Goff is the one that delivers the ball. He's the one that puts everybody in the right position at the right time. But he's also the guy when you talk about, and you're only talking about the skill set of the quarterback in regards to big arm and he can run.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many more traits that make up a great NFL quarterback, and Jaden Daniels may develop those. But as you heard in the quote there, where he's talking about the continuity of the system, it's year one for Jaden Daniels, year one for Dan Quinn, year two for the ownership of this team. Like, they haven't even had a chance to have continuity. So to make that part of the equation is dumb. You're not comparing anything that's the same.
No, and he did if the guy switched places, you know, would the Commanders be in the playoffs with Jared Goff? I think you could ask the other question. Are the Lions the one seed with a rookie quarterback, even one as good as Jaden Daniels? No, they lost to the Cowboys this season, the Steelers this season. He may have played more mistake-prone football, right, than a Jared Goff who's been largely clean this season.
Do you think the Lions would be 15-2 with Daniels?
That's what I just said. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, this is such a joke. Somebody texts fake news. I actually think it is borderline. People, these guys, these talking heads on most of these networks now are just, they get caught up in hype. You would never hear an original opinion right now. How about this topic for them? Sean McVay scapegoated Jared Goff. Look, was McVay right?
I was going to say, hard to blame him when he did get the bigger arm quarterback and won a Super Bowl.
But they both won.
Yeah.
Both things can be right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he blamed it all on Goff. And while they did end up upgrading slightly at quarterback, I mean, Jared Goff was written off.
Yeah.
Who at the station said that they thought Goff would be the guy?
Initially, I can't imagine very many did. And the bridge narrative was real. And I was one of the last guys to jump on board. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to come at this from a position where I think I have been where they are, right? Where you look at Goff and see what he can't do. But I think he's been here in Detroit long enough and he's shown us enough of what he can do. And I don't know why other people are ignorant to it. They're putting their blinders on. Like, we're propping up Jaden Daniels, maybe the way some did C.J. Stroud a year ago. Let's let the guy get in the league, have teams adjust to him, go through some bumps and bruises before we prop him above more proven, winning, successful quarterbacks.
And here's the thing. I mean, when Goff went to the Rams, when he was drafted number one overall, he went to one of the worst teams in football. That's the reason they were drafting number one overall. And in 3 years, took him to a Super Bowl. It's not all him. It's never just all one person.
No.
But now he's on the doorstep of doing it with the second franchise, of taking a team to the Super Bowl. And let's just wait and see in a couple of years. Is Jaden Daniels, does he get Washington to a Super Bowl in that three-year time span?
We got some great ticket texts coming in, some phone calls from you guys. It's Dueling Lions topics to wrap up the show today. We have, of course, this Jared Goff thing. Why doesn't he get more respect? How are we going this far to prop up a rookie quarterback over Jared Goff? And then the second question was just, hey, more loosely, ways that you've upgraded your life because of the Lions. Mm-hmm. Cars, wardrobe, man cave, whatever. We'll get some of those as well next. 97.1. Stanny Parkins, FS1, breakfast ball. Okay. Jared Goff's limited, tools-wise. Doesn't have the biggest arm, is not mobile, we know this stuff. But I think we're taking it too far when we're propping up Jaden Daniels, a rookie, over the quarterback who's leading the number one offense in football. Okay? I understand that he has help. But I'm not putting Jaden Daniels over Jared Goff. Like, what are we doing here? What world are we living in? Why does Goff not get more credit? That's the question we've asked you guys. 248-539-9797. I think what's happened, as someone who is a reformed Goff hater, they've taken the tools argument too far. Like, I've always held it against him that, you know, he's not Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, right? Arm strength or mobility. But he does a lot of things really well. He is anticipatory in his throws. He's composed. He wins on third and fourth down. He's accurate. He's resilient. Right? These are all, like, between the ear stuff is important too at the quarterback position. And while I'm not going to put Jared Goff ahead of the aliens, I'm not ready to put Jaden Daniels in the Lamar Jackson category today, the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes category today. He is still firmly behind Jared Goff at this point in his NFL career. I don't know what we're doing here. If I'd start a franchise, I'd start with the guy with one season under his belt as opposed to a guy who's playing at the highest level in his midpoint of his career. What are we doing here?
Well, and let's just take a look at some of the opponents. Now, he did beat some good defenses, but just speaking of the defenses that he played against, the Giants twice. Good defense?
No.
Dallas twice.
On paper, if healthy, they're all right, but no.
No. Okay. The Bengals defense.
They're terrible.
All right. You look at Panthers defense.
No.
Bears defense.
Bad.
Titans defense. Saints. Falcons. A lot of
certainly
the
none
wins,
of those are like top five or top ten.
Right. Yeah. And so the schedule that they played, and we talked about this with Minnesota, they were not playing a first place schedule. They were not prepared to play the Lions at the end of the year because they hadn't been sharpened like the Lions were. Lions were playing a first place schedule. And when we did the schedule game at the beginning, and I said 14, it was, they can't possibly win that many games. I had no idea I was underestimating them, but couldn't win that many games because of the schedule that they were playing. We're going to do the same thing again next year when we talk about the first place schedule because the opponents are out and everybody's looking at the road games going, they can't possibly win these games or at least all of them. And you look at what Washington did, and 12 wins for a rookie quarterback is remarkable. I don't want to underestimate what he's done, but
you're going too
it
far.
Hasn't been against the same level of competition.
This ticket texter is great, and I've seen this stat. Only one quarterback in NFL history has done all of the following, same season or not. 15-plus wins as a starter, more than 4,000 passing yards, 70% completion or better, and 110 passer rating or better. Goff did all of them this season, mm-hmm. Tony, in Oxford. Does Goff benefit from a great O-line and a run game? And Amon Ross St. Brown, who's a multiple All-Pro. Yes, they're the number one offense, though, and it's not because the quarterback doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
Ticket Textures, with some of their thoughts, says, how about this comp for Goff? He's Tim Duncan. Not flashy, but there's substance. No attention seeking. Says the reason that people in the media disrespect Goff is he's your average guy. He's a team player, doesn't want the attention.
Well, and even when he clearly gets disrespected, he's not going to be the one that goes to social media. He's not wiping social media of a team or of a writer because somebody said something bad about him. He's just not a guy that wants to be a part of the drama on either side of it. And so when somebody disrespects him, he just goes out there and wins games.
Let's get to the phones. Mike in St. Clair Shores. Mike, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I want to piggyback on what John just said. If you look at the games that Daniels played, all the Washington's wins were against non-playoff teams.
Except the Eagles.
All the Washington's losses, with the exception of Dallas, were against the playoff teams. So I think Goff has played under better pressure situations than Daniels, and he's had more success than Daniels. I don't care about his prime players, his receivers, or anything else.
Yeah.
He still has to deliver the ball.
Yeah, that's a great point in terms of the opponents that they played. They did beat the Eagles, and the Eagles obviously are a playoff team.
Eagles had Kenny Pickett in the game. Devontae Smith dropped a critical ball late in that game. It technically is still a win over a winning team, but you got to tell the whole story there.
Yeah. But all the other wins, as I mentioned, their defenses were not playoff teams.
No. This one actually phrases it well, too. It's optics. Goff never looks smooth. It always looks like it takes every bit of talent he has just to dump the ball down, while other guys look more effortless making the most amazing play. I think Goff is a top five QB. He just never looks like it. He plays like it. Mm-hmm. That's what's most important. Nate in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. I just want to put something in the heads of everybody. When did this mobile stuff started? Like what, 4 or 5 years ago when Mahomes came in and started winning?
As on a regular basis, sure. But you can go back to Michael Vick. You go back to
Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, there's been other mobile quarterbacks, but it is much more commonplace now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we got to think before then. There's not many. Yeah, but it's not many mobile quarterbacks that have a Super Bowl.
I think some of that's going to change because the majority of the good quarterbacks are mobile. Like, I think in the next 5 years, we are going to see more mobile quarterbacks winning a Super Bowl. But Nate, not to cut you off, I think the point will always be you have to make winning throws from the pocket. It's an added benefit if you can run. It makes defenses have to respect you. Yeah. But you have to make winning throws from the pocket. And Goff has done that, which is, I don't get why that doesn't get acknowledged more.